Daniel chapter 11. Thought we would continue some of our study in Daniel. We'll be wrapping up Daniel either probably this Wednesday night or the next. Maybe depends on, I guess, how far we get tonight. Now I want to read the last part of chapter 11 and then read chapter 12, which only has 13 verses. And we'll read through this last half of Daniel tonight because it is really a whole, this portion. Beginning with verse 36, we move into the future in Daniel. Up through verse 35, the events have already taken place. The Antiochus Epiphanes that we talked about last Wednesday night, who polluted the temple in Jerusalem and made them sacrifice swine, pigs on the altar, and tried to destroy all evidences of Judaism. He thought he would wipe out Judaism. He'd get that thing finished and done with. And he lined up with a lot of the Hellenistic Jews who already had given up the true worship of God and used them, and he tried to do that. He failed, of course. So that's past history. But as we pick up with verse 36, we pick up with the one that of which Antiochus Epiphanes was a type. He had qualities and characteristics that we're going to see in the Antichrist, the final time of the indignation. And we're going to see some phrases here that I think will be helpful in understanding this. Now we begin to read with verse 36 of chapter 11. And the king shall do according to his will. This is not King Jesus. This is the king, the little horn that we saw in Daniel 7. And he has other names which we'll look at later. And the king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. Now, the word indignation is the same word as great tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble. See, those phrases are synonymous. For that is determined, let me get that emphasis right here because this is an important phrase. For that is determined shall be done. Isn't that wonderful to be able to do what you determine to do? I determine to do a lot of things and don't get them done. I got a list, keep it in my pocket, you know, out here, call it my brains, on several of these little yellow sheets. And I can tell you all the things that we're supposed to do before opening day and ever, you know. And I think, well, I'll get some of them I do myself. Most of them we're doing together. But I say, we'll get some of these done today. And we end up doing things I don't even have on my list. You know, isn't that bad? You know, because it had to be done too, and you didn't even have it on your list. Well, God's not like that. He has his list, and he has determined what he's going to do, and he's going to do it. So that is determined shall be done. Boy, now that's the attitude we ought to take, you know. But we won't be as successful as certainly the Lord is, but that's the way we ought to be. That is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, or better, the God of fortresses. In other words, military might is the only thing that means anything to him. The Antichrist. Military might. That's everything to him. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end, now that's a phrase we're going to come back to, the time of the end. Shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. Now, previously in this chapter, we've been studying about the king of the north and the king of the south. They've been fighting each other. But now their attention is turned to this king, and they both are fighting him. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land. The glorious land, of course, refers to Palestine, the land of Israel, the land of the Jews. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasuries of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy, and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace, that is his military headquarters, between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, when we come back, we'll study more in detail a lot of these things. We won't get to them tonight, of course, but later time. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, "O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Now, by the way, that is the same as a time, times and a half. The 1290 days, they're all 3.5 years. All right. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel is going to get to be there and see it when it comes to an end. Now, tonight, we probably won't get much past verse 36 or so, maybe a little bit, but I want to first mention this phrase, the time of the end. There are phrases in the Bible that talk about the last days, the last times, the day of the Lord, and some of them are synonymous and others are not. They have to do with specific things. This phrase, the time of the end, in the book of Daniel is the last half of the seven-year tribulation period. So when we use the phrase the time of the end, or when the Bible uses the phrase the time of the end, it's talking about the end of the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years. See, that's talking about Jewish time of the end. Other phrases have to do with the end of the church and the last days of the church and whatever. But this has to do with the last 3.5 years of tribulation, this phrase, the time of the end. For instance, look back to Daniel chapter 8 and verse 17 through 19. This is a vision that he had of the ram and the he-goat. Remember back there in this chapter. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision, the fulfillment of the vision that he's telling him. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. Now, see that again. See, the last end of the indignation. Now, get this now. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. That's another end. So you got two ends in view here. One is the end of the tribulation, and the other is the end of the times of the Gentiles. Now, in one sense, they're almost synonymous, but they're speaking here of two different ends, you see, because there's the end of the Great Tribulation, and then there's the end of the times of the Gentiles. And that will, of course, be immediately following that as Christ comes to destroy those. So in verse 17 and 19, the first part of 19, we have the last half of the indignation. And the word indignation has to do the same thing as tribulation for the Jews, okay? And then the last part of verse 19 is talking about the times of the Gentiles, the end of the times of the Gentiles. Now, again, in chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 26, it says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. There's, again, that's the same king spoken of back in 36 of chapter 11. The prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, if you have a Scofield Bible, you'll notice that that end there has a note by it, F, and it says, literally, unto the end, wars and desolations are determined. In other words, right on through till that end, the wars and desolations determined. So, and again, then, of course, these in chapter 11 that we saw in verse 35 and 40. And then, again, in chapter 12, we saw this phrase end in verse 4. Says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. In other words, I personally believe that, and I know that this is true, and we've mentioned this on several occasions, that as we are now approaching the end of time, or this, and of course this has been going on for some time, the Bible does, we do not have any new revelation, but we do have much new illumination of the revelation. Men today can understand more than they could in Martin Luther's day or in John Wesley's day or even, you know, a couple hundred years ago about these things because we are closer to them. The closer you get to these events, the more God opens up his revelation to man, that is to those who want to know. And see, Daniel, he wanted to know. Oh, Daniel, boy, he wanted to know. He pled with it. He wept over it. He prayed over it. He fretted over it. He wanted to know. And God gave him more knowledge and information than anybody else. But even Daniel, he said the book's going to be closed. He told him basically the time frame, but he didn't. That's as far as he gets. He said the books are now closed, but they will be open at the time of the end. And so as we approach this time, I think that believers in the church age can understand more about it. But now listen to me. After the rapture, the 144,000 are going to live by it. It's going to be their hope. They're going to understand this like we don't understand it. Because you see, it's going to be open, as it says, at the time of the end. And those saints that are going to be living then, which will be the tribulation saints, that are going to be miraculously spared. And the scripture says if time was shortened or no flesh would be saved. In other words, none of the tribulation saints would be saved. But because of the elect, the time is shortened. Who are the elect? 144,000. So God's going to shorten the time so that they don't get killed during the tribulation period. He's going to miraculously spare them during that period of time. And they will understand. They're going to have the Bible. And don't you believe they're going to study prophecy? They're especially going to study all of these times so they'll know. They'll be in the know. There'll be people in the know in the tribulation period. It will be the 144,000 who spend their time studying the scripture so they can know. They'll also be, of course, doing whatever the Lord has for them to do. But in verse 6 also, of chapter 12, and one said to the man clothed, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? He asked him. And then in verse 9, the answer comes back. Or God said to Daniel, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. In other words, no more information. At that time, then these words will be opened. They'll be understood. Doesn't mean more revelation. There is no more revelation. We need to keep that in mind, else you turn into a charismatic. If you don't understand, there'll be no that'll keep you from becoming a charismatic. One thing, if you'll get it in your head and keep it in your head, you'll never be a charismatic. There is no more revelation. The book is closed. That'll keep you from becoming. You can't be a charismatic and believe that. Charismatic believe it's still open. They're still adding to. And they're cursed for it and taken away as well. Now, so that's the phrase, the time of the end. I think it's important for us to understand that in relation to Israel. Now, verse 36, coming back to the text, and the king. Okay, what king? Well, it's not talking about King Jesus, as we said. This is the king. Well, this king is also called the little horn. We saw that in, I think it was chapter 8. The prince that shall come, we saw that in this chapter 11. He's called in the New Testament the man of sin, the beast, the antichrist, and in 2 Thessalonians he's called that wicked one. So this king, notice what it says, he shall do according to his will. Now that's where the emphasis ought to be. His will. In other words, he doesn't do any God's will. Not the true and living God or any other God. In other words, there are a lot of people today who worship gods and do the will of their gods. See? But he will be the devil incarnate. The devil said to Adam and Eve, you don't have to obey God. You can be God. And this is the fulfillment of it. See, this is the devil's fulfilled promise, Antichrist. And he says he's God. And so he shall exalt himself and magnify himself. You'd think that to say he shall exalt himself would be sufficient, wouldn't you? But God goes on to say it's more than just lifting himself up, that to exalt. But then he magnifies himself once he lifts himself up. And he says, like little Jack Horner, who sat in the corner eating his blueberry pie, was that some kind of pie? Gooseberry pie. And he stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "Oh, yes, what a good boy am I." Well, it's going to be worse than that. Whenever Antichrist, he's going to magnify himself. He's going to exalt himself above every god and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Well, before that can happen, you have to destroy the God of gods in the heart and minds of people. Or they kill him, you know. Understand the process that has to take place before this can take place. There has to be a degeneration of reverence. There has to be the falling away, apostasy, which takes the glory from God, takes the praise from God, the honor from God. It has to go, and folks, we're there. I mean, you can say anything about God you want to say on TV now. I mean, it used to, they would not dare to do that. They had to give some kind of reverence to God. Not anymore. I mean, make any kind of joke you want to make. Whenever the movies came out where George Burns played God, you know, and answered prayers for Dustin Hoffman or whoever that fellow was that played the devil. both of them played the devil, but that was one of the big steps in this thing of taking the deity and the honor and the glory and the majesty away from God, see. And that process has been going on so that Antichrist can step in and say, "I am God, I am God." And notice this, it says, "And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper, till the indignation be accomplished." In other words, through the whole tribulation period, he's going to prosper. "For that is determined shall be done." Turn back to 2 Thessalonians. I just want us to look at that passage again in 2 Thessalonians. We'll begin to read with verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away or apostasy, and that man of sin or that lawless one be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God." That is right there in Jerusalem. The one that will be rebuilt that time. "Showing himself that he is God." So he's going to sit on the throne that's going to be Christ's throne. He's going to beat him there. Usurp that throne. And say, "I'm God. I'm the Messiah. I'm here. I've arrived." Then look in verse 8. "And then shall that wicked," should be wicked one, "be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." That's another dangerous, dangerous thing about the charismatic and these things, getting to where that everybody's talking about miracles and signs and wonderful healings and all kinds of things, you know. And then all of this began with the Pentecostal movement and the healing campaigns and all those kind of things. Way back down there, got the groundwork going for this. "So even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness." You see, what is, if it is unrighteous and people are deceived, what do they think it is? They think it's righteousness. But it's unrighteousness. "In them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." That's the same person that's listed here. Turn to Revelation chapter 13, beginning verse 4, and we're talking now in Revelation about this same person. "And they worship the dragon who gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? He's the God of war and power and might. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. All right. This, of course, is the time of the indignation. We have to distinguish between the time of Jacob's trouble and the tribulation period. The tribulation period lasts 7 years, but the first 3.5 years, he's a nice fella, see. But it's at the last half that he goes into his act and he does all these things that he does and things, all right? Then Revelation 17, just looking quickly at some of the references to him, beginning with verse 10. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th. In other words, the beast seems to have a death, burial, and resurrection, you understand, too, to fulfill everything. He is, and he's not, and then he is. And, he has the wound that's healed, and so forth. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received their power as kings 1 hour with the beast. A couple more verses. These have one mind, that is one purpose. They have one purpose, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, and for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him, who's that? The church, right? Saints. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I have always said that I'm not necessarily of the belief, I've almost... that all the church is coming back with Christ. Now, it's got to be one way or the other, folks. The Bible says, they that suffer with him shall reign with him. And this says that these that come with him are not only called, and not only chosen, they're faithful. So don't tell me. I mean, it's something you got to give somewhere. If you're going to say that everybody who says they're Christians are Christians, then you can't say that all the church is coming back with Christ. Now, maybe all the church is coming back with Christ. I wouldn't be surprised what that's true. But the other side you have to give, then all the people who profess to be Christians are not Christians. Only the faithful ones are really born again and Christians. And that's why I preach that, and I get in trouble with everybody I talk to about it. Nobody else accepts that, but I still believe it's true. All right. Chapter 19, one other reference in Revelation. Then I want to go back to the Sermon on the Mount and see what Christ said about this one. Matthew 19, beginning with verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. There we are again. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now this is when the lake of fire comes in. The dead are not in the lake of fire. The lost dead are not in the lake of fire today. This is when the lake of fire is put into, and later on we learn that after the resurrection of the dead, those that their names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast to the lake of fire as well. So hell in that sense of burning fire, a lake of fire, they're tormented now, as we read from Luke 16, but At that time, they'll be in the lake of fire, burning forever and ever. Last reference, and we'll close with this, is Matthew 24, where Jesus himself speaks concerning this Antichrist. He had much to say about him, and we won't be able to read all that we would like to read about this, but let's read beginning with verse 4 of Matthew 24. They've asked the question, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. In other words, throughout the whole period, the church age, that will take place. Many will come. Now, of course, they didn't know anything about church age. Jesus hadn't mentioned it. He hadn't talked about it. So many that will come, in other words, think this way. The church is gone already. Now think of what Jesus is saying, because that's what he's talking about. Forget church age in here, because it'll confuse your mind and thinking, because you don't anticipate revelation. You have to take it where it is. You can't jump ahead and anticipate what's going to be said. You see, that gets you in trouble. So he said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then he goes on to talk about the wars, rumors of wars, the false prophet, many false prophets, and so forth. And then in verse 14, but this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, when is that? It's not during the church age. He's not talking about the church age. The gospel of the kingdom is not the gospel I preach. I don't preach the gospel of the kingdom. I preach the gospel of the grace of God. And the gospel of the kingdom is what Christ preached. It's what John the Baptist preached. It's what the saints of the tribulation are going to preach, the 144,000. So this is what he's talking about. I would assume during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, you see, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Okay, now, at this time, there already had been Antiochus Epiphanes, and he had done this. And he is a type of the Antichrist, but Jesus is not talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. That's past. He's talking about Antichrist, who will fulfill this. And he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel, now do you think you're going to see it? He's sure not talking about the church. Who's going to see it? Those saints of the tribulation period are going to see it. Those who recognize this Antichrist as false and believe in the true Christ, you see, and follow him, they're going to see it. He says, and when you see it, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, can you imagine if you could just in your mind's eye say, I am a tribulation Jew who believes in the true Messiah. I am one of the 144,000, and I'm reading this in the tribulation period. Whoso readeth, let him understand. See, back there, Daniel says it's going to be opened up. They're going to understand. They're going to know. Christ is affirming that and saying that, and they're going to understand it then. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down. You, every time I read that, I think about the fellow I was saved under. He said that he heard a fellow preaching on that top that says he didn't believe in women wearing their hair up on their head. And he preached that this was his text, top not come down. See, you can preach about anything you want to and prove about anything you want to if you twist the scriptures enough. Let him not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child and give suck in those days. Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation. Now this is the time of the end. Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The Jews think they had it rough in the Holocaust. They ain't seen nothing yet. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, but leave it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. See? Now, talking about these people, the men who, Jews and others who say they're Christ, or others are saying that they are Christ, or they're saying that I might become Christ. Well, it won't be now. It's going to be at the end of the tribulation period that you see that they, this is the period in which Christ is talking about now, in this time. But these, they shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Of course, it's not possible. Isn't that wonderful? Behold, I have told you before. Behold, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together, or the vultures be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, and so. Well, what wonderful days are ahead of us. What awful days are ahead for unbelievers. But what wonderful days are ahead for the children of God. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts and help us to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.